Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that
What's blow. Up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Top of Hearts with you. And, of course, what did we see last week? We saw some interesting markets. And, of course, we have the dropping of the Moab, the mother of all bonds and bombs. Not bonds, but it could be the dropping of bonds. But, you know, again, we have markets that are simply, I would say, slightly overdone. You know, and I think what you're going to see here is, you know, probably a little bit of a bounce and another opportunity to sell. I think you're going to start to see that the sustainability of a market that is built on an air pocket, that is built on the what we like to call the house of cards, cannot be sustainable. I you have to look at the overall picture, and the picture is fairly simple. You know, you have a market that has gone up on a lot of promises and a lot of hopes and a lot of dreams, and those hopes, dreams, and promises don't look like they're going to be able to be fulfilled anytime soon. And of course, one of the things we always make sure that we understand is that markets move up a little faster or down a little faster than we think, which is what creates the overbought, oversold condition. And, you know, maybe here in the short term, you might have a little bit of oversoldness. But again, really, we haven't had all that much selling. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we, you know, went, you know, a little bit lower and, you know, caught an area and then, you know, then pop. But I think now your objective is to look to be to the short side of the market. And not looking to be a buyer. I think this is where this seems to be always where the dip buyers end up getting trapped. This is the end. This is when you have things that happen in markets, and you know they don't follow through. And if you ever looked at one of those charts where you saw I think we reached the ultimate optimism, and now I think we're on the other side of the mountain. And as we start to roll down that side of the mountain, you know, I think that you now find out that, you know, the rallies become more vicious because you get these big pushes. But those are really the ones that now you want to sell. I think that when you look at the overall picture, you have a market that is made of straw, basically. I mean, you know, it's, you know, the wolf, the three little pigs, and we don't have a solid foundation here. And of course, if you just look at the general data, now we know that the data is not going to drive the markets down, but you have consumer confidence at all time record highs. Now, again, one of the things, you know, if you remember from things you've done in life, you know, overconfidence usually leads to the end. You know, if you're a sports fan, you know, how many times have you seen a team go in dramatically overconfident and get their ass kicked? And that's usually what we see here now, because we've got a market that is really, you know, based on the information, very much overconfident, overcomplacent. And I think that's what you look for. Now, again, it doesn't mean that, you know, tomorrow they're just going to break. This is a matter of watching a footprint and developing a strategy to tie into the market footprints that are there for you. I think one of the things we forget about is that markets do go up and down. And, you know, to make a trade, to make a market, there's always two sides. There's a buyer and a seller. So, you know, it's at some point, you know, the buyers become exhausted and the sellers come in. And then at some point, the sellers become exhausted and the buyers come back in. And I think where we make the mistake is too many of us try to chase them up when they're going up and say, oh, we got to get in. and then chase him down when we're trying to get out. We chase him out. And again, that I think is the absolute wrong way to look at a market. The market yourself, you have to look at the longer time frame of the market and get a feel for the overall activity. I mean, if we look, you know, today, obviously, if we look on a very long-term basis, we would still say the market is probably in still a longer-term uptrend. But, you know, if we look at, let's say, you know, a three-month chart, you would say, this doesn't look great, and it is starting to turn over. And, of course, as you look at it, you are starting to see these. We saw the spike high on March 1st. And subsequently, we've seen lower highs. Now, we haven't gone down exactly like, you know, a ton. I mean, the market is down 3% from the all-time high. So, again, it wouldn't be something that I would be saying, oh, my God, we're going, this is the end. But now we're starting to break, you know, through the downside. And I think you change over now. And I think you're now seeing that it's time to be a seller of the rallies versus a buyer of the dips. And that is always something that we have to be very, very familiar with and ready for, because I believe now the path of least resistance will be lower. And until we reverse that, I think you're going to see, now again, I think you're going to see some substantially lower levels. I think our next target, for example, in the Dow would be, you know, if 20,400 fails, I think your next target from there would be probably 20,001 to 200. But I think our ultimate target on this particular leg down should be probably, you know, 19,800 to 20,000. And then, you know, we'll see how the action is there. But then, of course, you'll have another area, okay? And then we would then be looking at, you know, probably the 19.5 level and then 19 and so on. But again, we're not going to go straight there. We're going to have these, you know, rallies and sell-offs. And I think that's one of the things that we have to recognize as traders, all right, or as investors, but more as traders, is, you know, the long term is still up. And of course, but I'm certain that we will test the 17.8 level, which was the breakout level from when Donald Trump was elected. Now, again, I don't think that's going to happen today. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I just think that's in the near-term cards. I think one of the things you have to remember is that the markets will do what markets are going to do, and we can't tell you the timing of this next big move. But I think it's fairly evident that you're now starting to see the rotation over to the other side. And I just, again, we're not going to preach fear or tell you to dump. And of course, I don't ever want to sell anything. I want to just hedge it and stay in and continue to buy more as it comes down, because we do know that markets will go up, you know, 9% year over year. But at the end, we want to make sure that we are, you know, focusing on the direction and where we are headed right now. And that's where I think that, you know, many of us make a mistake. Again, is, you know, we get too, you know, we're too many of us are now waiting to buy the dip. And I think that's the first mistake. I think now it's time to sell the rally. And, you know, I think that's how the market functions. And this is where, you know, you start to see the differences in the things happen. But we'll be keeping our eye on it, and we'll be ready to rock and roll when it does. And again, just remember, caution and patience and discipline are always the key that will keep you in capital and let you allow you to play in the market space. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. And of course, go to bubbatrading.com and get our brand new hit show, Bubba's Bottom Line, which is available to you at bubbatrading.com. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, as we know, last week we saw the the bombing in Afghanistan, the Moab, and mother of all bombs, and are we in agreement with that? Are we upset about that? I'm just curious what your take is. I mean, I think it's probably the right play. I think one of the things I think you're seeing from President Trump is that he ain't taking no crap, and I think you're going to see a lot more of this. Now, the good news is I think we're going to try to take over the reins and become, you know, the feared powerhouse again instead of the ones that nobody has any worry about. However, I do believe also that will create, as I've said, you know, many times, the markets are waiting for an event that we can't figure out right now. And I think that event will eventually be geopolitical event, some terrorist attack or something. And, you know, the bombing of Syria and the bombing of Afghanistan, and I'm sure there's more on target, that very well might set up the next, you know, retaliatory terror attack. And, of course, that would then possibly create the market sell-off that I think is coming. But, again, we know that it's not going to be economic data because we've had, you know, some crappy numbers. And we've had some good numbers. But, again, if you look at consumer confidence, that's at all-time record highs. Is that good news? And I would say, I would beg to differ. I'd say that would be bad news. If everybody's so confident and in, then they're probably already in. So, you know, who's going to be left to supply it? But I think you saw, again, retail continues to struggle. Now, I think the overall retail numbers in general are not bad, but the problem is the distribution of where it's going to and who's getting the money. And, of course, Amazon's getting most of the money, which doesn't make it bad. But the damage that really does is, again, that takes away from the landlord of the property. It takes away from the help that works there. It takes away from the restaurants that are there. It takes away from the gas stations. It takes away from everybody, because if you don't drive anywhere, then you don't go out for dinner. You don't go to the gas station. So again, in other words, it really comes back down to the velocity of money and the way that money is flowing, because we're not getting the same money flow because we're not going out as much. We're not spending as much on, you know, the other things that go along with, you know, going to the store. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next, you know, I don't have a time frame, but let's just say 5 years, that the only retail stores that will be left will be, you know, the Walgreens of the world, that, you know, for pharmaceuticals and for, you know, quick items. You know, this is almost like a remake. If we turn the clock back, you know, 20 years when, or maybe 30, you know, I can't remember, but let's say 40 years, 7-Eleven, White End Pantry. Now, obviously, we've seen all those get wiped out over the years because of the gas stations bringing in all these pantries. So you're getting gas, you go to the pantry, you don't have to go to White Hand or 7-Eleven. Well, you know, now the next big demand product is prescription drugs. You know, now many of us, you know, buy them, you know, online like everything else, and you get a 3-month supply. But that still doesn't account for, you know, you go to the doctor, they give you a prescription right away, you need a place to go, and there's still many people that, you know, want to go to the pharmacy, which is why I think that will be the lone remaining store. And I wouldn't be surprised if someday if the gas stations had pharmacies as well. I wouldn't be surprised, and I have no knowledge, and I'm not making this necessary prediction, but I wouldn't be surprised if one day you drove in and it was a Walgreens gas station where you have everything. Because I think you're starting to see, you know, a lot of this stuff change, and, you know, we're seeing, you know, so much over inundation of buildings that are up that are going to be empty. And, you know, I think there's no bigger, you know, contributor to this mess than the banks. I mean, you know, how many Chase banks do I need, you know, within a 5-mile radius of my house? I mean, I think there's probably 20. Now, you know, again, I don't understand, you know, what they're thinking, but again, you know, listen, they're the bankers. But what I do see is that the need for other places is diminishing. I think the need for you know, things that we're seeing are not going to increase. I think, again, I would have a great worry for Walmart as it sits today. They're certainly losing a lot of market share. And I think one of the things that you're now seeing is that the demand to go to the stores continues to get less. And you know, I think pretty soon we'll see, you know, grocery stores, convenience stores, and, you know, gas stations. And I don't know that there'll be much else out there. Oh, Starbucks will be out there. But, you know what I'm saying? I mean, those kind of places. But, you know, and again, this is also, I think, leading to less office use. You know, a lot of companies for years have gone to letting people work from home, at least on a part-time basis. And, you know, because of today's world, we can all be connected. You know, I can be in my office down the hallway, or I can be in my office 10 miles away or 50 miles away. And I think that's another thing that we're going to start to see. And again, that creates a much bigger problem over time, because if you have the if we're moving away from going to an office, going to malls and all these things, again, you now are cutting down on the fuel consumption. You're now cutting down on the restaurant business that, you know, because, you know, when we work downtown, you know, you got to go to lunch. So you go to the lunch place. And of course, if I'm not working downtown, I have no reason to go to lunch down there. And I think that these are the things that, you know, these are the unintended consequences of the world of technology. Now, it's not going to change because it's a problem. But, you know, again, you've got, you know, if you think about, you know, the Chicago Board of Trade, for example, you know, right now they have nobody there. Maybe they got 2,000 employees. I don't even know if they have that many. But let's just say they have 2,000. And maybe at one time, at the height, they had 50,000. Well, you know, those were all people that were going to restaurants. Those were all people that were parking cars in the garages. Those were all people that were even taking the train. So you see the effect that we have on all of these businesses. You know, it's not just one business. It's a series of businesses that we continue to see get destroyed. And that problem is going to relate to something much bigger, because where are we going to replace that velocity of money, you know, where it goes from one pocket to another pocket? Again, you know, when I don't go anywhere, I don't go shopping, I don't go to a mall, you know, I go to the gas station. My one retail experience to myself is I go to the gas station either to get gas or get coffee. You know, that's the only retail store I go to. You know, in the occasional Walgreens, if I need a prescription filled that, you know, that I don't have on regular order. So again, this is, you know, this is becoming the impersonal, America that, you know, nobody has to leave their house. Everything is done electronically. And I think that does become a problem. You know, overall, I think that is again, not, you know, I'm old, so, you know, I'm not, you know, happy with that kind of setup. I think that our social skills are diminishing, and you know, I think that's what's making these Match.com and, you know, these eHarmony sites all the more valuable, because nobody does do anything out there anymore. There is no more social skills. There is no more, you know, a singles dance, or, you know, a place where singles are known to hang. And I think this is, again, this is the world of technology, the world of the Facebook and the Snapchat and Twitter and all these other things. You know, you no longer have to go out and confront or do anything. It's like, you know, if you're out and you meet somebody, you got to ask them for a date or whatever. You know, people didn't have the guts to do that sometimes. And of course, now it's easy to do it when you're online. You're just typing in. And I think that is, again, I think that's creating a lot of damage, in my opinion. And I think this is one of the problems that we're going to face. But again, obviously, in any changeover in the Industrial Revolution, you know, there's so many changes that had to be dealt with. Now we have the Technical Revolution, which there's going to be many things to change with, but eventually it'll all work itself out. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm will allow you to download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. And we are having our next hedging class starts on April 26th. Make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. We're going to step out here for a break and be back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the Bubba Show expert, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, welcome aboard.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, we had an interesting week last week on a holiday shortened week. The week started out pretty much like the last 7 or 8 days were, which is, you know, good price ranges, and you kind of ended up near the center range. But then at the end of the week, we saw a little bit of a little heavier selling. And, of course, the experts will blame it on the Moab, the big mother of all bombs. But I don't think that's – I think there's probably, you know, maybe people were just maybe taking some profits, and maybe there was a little panic. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, people are starting to get a little more – yeah, a little bit of panic, a little bit of fear. And finally turning a little bit of bearish, getting a little bit of bearishness in there. I think at the end of the week, we started to get a little bit oversold on short-term indicators. So I think this week, what we'll probably see is, you know, a little more follow through early, and then we'll probably get a bounce later in the week.
You expect to see it now again, obviously. You know, it's a lot will depend on, some of the geopolitical stuff. I mean, I know that, you know, that prices in the charts actually ahead of time. I mean, it isn't like it's always a surprise. And I think that's one thing that, most people don't understand is, you know, usually the rumblings of that stuff that you don't even hear starts to appear in charts before it happens. And, you know, I think that, the markets, in my opinion, are waiting for a reason to really take off to the downside. And of course, even when markets are going to go down or up, there's always a some reversals within inside there, because no market goes straight up or straight down as a rule, right?
Right. I mean, you know, it is. I mean, if you're placed on the right side of the trade, it is fun when you get, like several days of just, you know, plummet action like we got in August 2015. That was exciting, I guess. But if you were short. I don't think we're at that kind of moment yet. I think we, we're still kind of, sort of range bound, where we'll be making, lower highs, but we're still going to have, these bounces that should occur. And I think this week will be one of them. I don't think it was fully finished at the end of last week. Like I said, I think a little more pull back to the downside, then, a relief sort of bounce. And then I think we can start all over again back to the downside. One thing that was interesting is I would like to watch the VIX options. And right now they are the VIX puts are actually more expensive than the VIX calls, which that hasn't happened for months. So that's the market maker saying they think that VIX, the volatility index, is overpriced right now, which is – It's interesting. They haven't been that way for several months.
Well, I mean, you would think you would actually look at the VIX, and of course, you know, the VIX, interesting. It charts like anything else, and it was making a nice ascending move, kind of just dribbling higher, making higher lows, and then of course towards the end of the week it kind of exploded, which kind of throws the chart out of whack, which would make sense that the markets are probably a little bit overdone to the downside in the short term here, and we could see some bounce. I mean, again, that's, you saw pretty much, especially Friday a little bit, or Thursday, a little bit of extension of the VIX, and probably got a little bit ahead of itself. I think you'd probably agree with that.
Yeah. And this is, when we're talking about this, we're just talking short term. We should get a bounce. And as we have been talking about, all bounces should now be sold. That's the trading strategy we're taking.
Now, obviously I mentioned it a lot, and when you say all bounces now, what do you consider a bounce? Like, where would be your sell target, this week right now, as you see it? If we got a bounce to what, where would you be a seller at?
Well, I've been following the Russell 2000 most closely, and I think something like a 1% bounce in that would be good. If we get up to about 135, that would be good. That would be a good place to sell.
All right. So again, that's what you're watching now. You know, we've seen some interesting developments throughout some of these markets, but yet it seems like the Nasdaq still remains fairly strong compared to the rest. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, it has been the strongest, but it did. You know, we had that. It was the last to hit our target. We had a variety of targets for every index, and we had been talking a lot about the 132.95 area in QQQ, and we went a little bit past that, but that was fine. We said it could go a little bit past. The high we got was just fine. It was perfect, but now I think it's complete. And if you look at long-term indicators on NASDAQ, just this little bit of a pullback has not put a dent in them. They are still very overbought. So I'm thinking monthly RSI here is still extremely overbought, and it looks like it's curling over. So I think there's still plenty of downside for the NASDAQ, but like the rest of the markets, it should bounce in the short term.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's kind of natural, and I think that's where people make a mistake, and I think that's one of the errors that long-term investors make is they get so excited and they get so complacent, markets go higher, and then they we start to see some selling, and then they forgive a little bit of the selling, knowing that the dip buyers are going to come back in, and by the time they remember it, then we've already collapsed, and it goes back to 08. Everybody had plenty of opportunity to get out of the market if they chose to do so, but they, of course, the emotions got in the way and kept them in. Now, I was looking at your report and the sentiment index. Now, it seems like the sentiment index is coming more back towards the flat line. I mean, I thought it was, dumb money, smart money was much wider, and now it seems to be coming back to the center. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's really come in. I mean, now, smart money and dumb money are converging. They almost have the same level of confidence in the market. The smart money was when we were, at higher levels, they were very pessimistic. I think they're going to fully cross over. I think we're going to get to the point where, they're still, it's still modestly bearish reading, meaning that dumb money is still a little bit overconfident, and smart money is not still not that confident. I think they'll fully cross over to the point that, the sentiment gets, the reading gets bullish, and that hasn't happened yet. So there's still room to the downside as far as sentiment goes.
Now, do you have a target on the downside in this particular run here where we are? Is there a number you're looking for where you think the bull market would resume? Because, I mean, obviously over an extended period of time, we're still trending higher, correct?
Yeah. I think we might get as much as a 20% sell-off. So, I mean, that would technically be a bear market that we would enter. And since we're not even close to that yet, I haven't really put out even to our subscribers what the what our target is on the downside. It is quite a bit lower though.
All right, well, mine's 1562 in the S&P. I'm sticking with it. I haven't changed.
That's serious,
it.
Yeah.
I haven't changed it, and I'm sticking with that number. I won't get there tomorrow, but again, I think it will get there. I think that again, I think we've seen some way too much overvaluation, and of course, the old story: sell the rumor, buy the news, or buy the rumor, sell the news. And of course, a lot of this has been built up on artificial. And I think we saw some earnings last week, in the banks, and they were okay, but they weren't great, and certainly not what markets have priced in. I thought the dollar was interesting at the end of last week because of just the way that it kind of fell apart when it probably shouldn't have, but it did. And what do you think of that action?
It sort of fits with what we were thinking. I mean, we were saying 101 in the dollar. We got a little bit higher than that, which was fine. Between 101 and 101.50 is the zone that we want to be shorting into. If we get above 101.50, then it should be breaking out, and that would be a big concern. It fits with what the euro is doing too. The euro is trying to, I believe it's trying to get down to almost to 105 even, and at that point we'll have another bounce. So probably a fairly strong bounce. So strength in the euro would mean weakness in the dollar. The commercials are still heavily short the dollar. They really haven't taken their foot off the gas. It's a highly concentrated huge short position in the dollar. So the four biggest traders have that position on, and they haven't. We've had significant weakness since they initiated it, and they haven't covered meaningfully at all. So.
Okay, and then of course the British pound continues to act well again too. It didn't make it quite back to the 122. You think it's still got a chance to get back there?
Oh, I don't. At this point, we had a descending a resistance line. It broke through it last week, which is great. So that's a bullish move. But typically, when you get those breakouts, you pull back to the what's former resistance, and it then acts as support. So that's now at 124. So we bought a little bit on the breakout of that descending line, and if we get another pullback to 124, basically 124 even, we'll be buying some more.
Got it. And again, I mean, it looks pretty good, and it looks solid. And of course, there's a lot of other things going on here. But we are with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the expert for the Bubba Show on technical analysis, and has been pretty much en fuego, on fire, keeps bringing up those good trades. And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends, hosted by Xander, and of course, Bubba's Bottom Line, the brand new hit sensation, Emmy Award. Well, it's not an Emmy Award winning yet, but someday it'll be Emmy Award winning, Bubba's Bottom Line at BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, we'll step out here for a break and come back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back to you after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis. And Matt, we've seen some, I think, interesting action, especially based on what the commercials look like they're doing. It looks like the commercials are massively short the cattle markets, and yet cattle exploded once again, and it has no belief that it's ever going down again. I find it interesting, but again, looking at the traders report and then looking at what's going on, it doesn't make a lot of sense. What do you think here?
Well, for me, I think cattle's broken out to a degree. I think it's probably still going a little bit higher. I always reference the ETF cow, and I think that's going up to 25-35 as a minimum target, which means that between cattle and hogs, which it's half and half, that ETF, we need to see some more strength out of at least one of them to get to that level. We're about 22.5 now, so to get to 25, we need another, say, 10%. So that's a 10% combo out of cattle and hogs. I see them going higher. I mean, the commercials will probably just layer on more shorts as that happens, but that's my take on it.
It could be. I mean, again, I can't imagine I can go much higher, but again, the markets are not always rational, and certainly there's a lot of things going on, and obviously I've written and I've said, hey, look, we were short, now we have to be more careful because we continue to see higher prices. And of course, it looks like the commercials have finally turned on soybeans, and they now look to be starting to be a buyers of soybeans. We know they've been buyers of wheat. And what do you think in that space, sir?
Well, they are now net long, and it makes sense where we bottomed. I think we could run another 10% higher in soybeans. We could get a pretty good rally from this level. We got very, very oversold, which we talked about last week. But I still haven't, it's still not to me what I would consider a bear market low yet. So I think we still have to go significantly lower. And by that, I mean, probably about 20% lower than where we are now. The target I have is a rising line, so that will change over time. So it won't necessarily be 20%, but it will be, in that ballpark. Might be, if it takes long enough, it might be more like 15%. But I think we get a bounce here in soybeans. I think it could be a big one, and then we roll over again. I'm looking at where I prefer to see it reach is the low tens, like 10-25-ish.
I guess I could see that. I mean, my key level on the way down was 10, and I said of 10. breaks. We're looking at 9:40, and sure enough, we got done at about 9:35, so that was pretty cool. Oil has been, holding up very well after, had the big rally. And, when you look at it, it doesn't look all that great. Now, again, I'm not looking at it from the way you're looking at it. What do you think of oil in here?
I think it's got a little more upside. It did break through, a prior resistance that we had. The resistance that took it down in, I guess, late March or late February, actually. That resistance line is now broken. So I expect a little more upside. I'm looking at a target now. It's a rising target. It's at about 56. So I think we'll get to that level, and then we'll see another sell-off. And on that sell-off, we'd be targeting the low 40s, the mid to low 40s.
All right. So now is your line declining again? The one that's climbing for 56, or how is that? Is that a declining?
No. That unfortunately, that one if for a short, that one is for a bear. That one's an inclining target. So it's presently right around 50, right around 56.
Right.
And it's rising by about 8 cents per day.
That's not good if you're a bearish.
No.
It's not good.
We have a much larger, very powerful, resistance line that's descending, that's currently at 64. It's descending 50 cents per week. So we've been talking about this one for a long time, and I don't expect it to be touched anytime soon. Probably will take months to get there. But that one, when we eventually get there, we'll be talking about, much bigger decline in oil. In fact, I'll be curious to see how that plays out eventually. But for the short term, we're looking at in the 56 zone.
For that short term, my short oil is not very good at the moment, but I better duck and hide from that. I mean, it's not good because I'm short and I'm not getting out. But when we look at the other things, we see gold and silver. I mean, gold has been like, I couldn't believe it when I saw, I'm not surprised, but the way that it finally just like broke out, it looked like it was kind of making a little bit of a top. And the next thing you know, it's parking up, and now it looks like 1300 is going to play. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's got a little more upside. For this one, I'm more or less looking at daily RSI, which I think is going to peak right around 79 or so. There's a little bit left in it, I believe. But we've already started to short it. The commercials are shorting it. One thing that's a big concern is that the commercial short position in silver is at another all-time record. So, the commercials have never been more short silver than they are now. The short position in gold is a little bit more moderate, but it's not like silver is going to tank without taking gold with it. I'd be really cautious here if I was long. In fact, like I said, we're short, and I think we're going to experience a little bit more pain. I think it's going to go against us a little bit further, but the odds of a sell-off are good soon, so we want to be positioned. We always do that. We always get positioned a little bit early, so we have something on before a big move.
Well, you have to be early. If you understand what you're trying to do, you have to be a little bit early for a partial position because it could just crack tomorrow. You could walk in a rock and be down $50. I mean, again, it's not like, we can say to an exact science that it's going to be here exactly. I mean, so you have to be somewhat prepared in what you're seeing. And of course, I would think that, this is a blow off type of pattern anyways. This would be consistent with the end of this recent bull run anyways. I mean, as you look at the pattern, I mean, the rate of change, the rate at which it's going up is almost unsustainable. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And, now that we're above the 200-day moving average, you have a lot of managed money coming in and just buying. They are conditioned to when their algorithms are fairly simple. It's once you get above the 50-day, start buying. Once you get above the 200-day, start buying. And the commercials are taking the other side of that. And every time they have, they win. I mean, gold and silver in particular are one. I mean, I pay very close attention to what the commercials are doing in those two in the metals because they are. you know, perhaps the most manipulated markets, you know, on the planet. As long as we stay above the 200-day moving average, the managed money technical traders are going to keep buying, and the commercials will keep selling until a resolution is forced. And I think that's the commercials have never lost, to my knowledge, ever. So this would be the first time if it just kept going to the upside.
You know, it is one nice thing when you have unlimited capital, you can just continue to pour, and eventually you're not going to lose, right? I mean, it's like any other business. I mean, if you have unlimited capital, it makes it a little bit different. Is there anything out there, Matt, that's really striking your fancy? Anything that we should really be watching one way or the other?
Yeah, I know I've repeated this before, and we finally got to a level I was waiting for. It's that emerging market bonds ETF, that EMB ETF, it hit our declining resistance, the one we were targeting. We've put on a full short position now, and now I think that, you know, for whatever reason, the charts are saying emerging market bonds are in serious trouble here, so we want to be short.
And that is the words, according to Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, always bringing us the latest and the greatest information. Matt, it is always great to have you on, and your input is always much appreciated, and you've been on fire, and let's keep it going.
Thanks a lot. It's always great to be here.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends, and of course, Bubba's Bottom Line, which is available at bubbatrading.com, and we do have on the 26th of April our brand new hedging course starting, so make sure you get signed up for that as we start to get into some turbulent times in the market. That'll do it for today. Everybody have a great day. We always appreciate you being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thank you so much. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
Turn the noise down. Let this old...
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.